what am I doing here? I don't know. For the past short while, I've decided that for the rest of my life, I'm not going to do like the parable, you know. His barn is full, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, relax, stay home, click, click, couch potato. I decided, no. I have no option but to live. Now, I should have, or rather, I thought that I should have written down something, written down what I'm going to say, and then read it. It would go fine. But I think also that it's best to go by the Spirit. I'm not used to this. And I remember when I was young, when I say young, a little boy, I was living, we were living in the city beside our neighbor who was a pastor. He has 7 children. I am one of 7 siblings. I am number 3. And in the evening, sometimes he has choir practice. And I would hear this, the practicing this song. Oh my, I forgot it. By never boasted anything. Galatians 6:14. They were singing it over and over, so it ringing in my ear. Now, my problem always was my speech or lack thereof, and that has determined my life. When I was, you may think that I stutter now, but you should have, seen me or heard me, even stamp hard in order to get words out, but it didn't come. As I said, I thought, should I write something and then read it? As I said, I remember in later on in school, in the sixth class, the last grade of elementary school, we were being tested, and one of the subjects was reading, and the teacher didn't let me read and gave me a 0 when I was looking forward to reading, and although I started badly, I could have read and I could get close to 100. But there are many obstacles, there are many things that because of my because of my stuttering, I've been blocked in many areas of my life, in many situations. Another situation in which I remember I was blocked was in school, that elementary school also. They were practicing, they call it a cantata, something where someone would say the main thing, and various presentation would be made, and the rest of us who are not part of the main thing would comprise the choir, and we practice and practice, and at the last rehearsal before the presentation, the headmaster looked and you know, fine-tuned everything,
and looked at the choir and pointed out you out. Me, put me out of the choir. That was most devastating. So it has affected me a lot. Nevertheless, I'm here. I'm encouraged. And so far, things are not going as I thought it would. But not to worry, because I'm trusting in God, and He is in control. And I have a lot to say, but I'm not going to say a thing just to occupy time. But I should tell you, I'm hesitating not because of the stuttering, but I don't want to be impressive to say I just want to say the. At the same court, say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I just want to say the truth. I just want to say it plain. I just want to give Jesus the glory. That's the main thing, that Jesus will get the glory. I was born in the year that King George VI, that the father of the present Queen Elizabeth, was crowned. He was crowned in that year, and I was born. And so I was named after him. I was named after a king, not a president. Last month, just about over a month ago, you will notice a gentleman sitting at the back there. He was a result of my determination to live. I decided that, first of all, the occasion was the street party. On our street, Grand River Boulevard, every year on a certain date, usually the last Saturday in July, what it so happened to be the middle of July this year. We have a street party where everybody would gather. And we would have a party, we'd be in our chairs and get together. I did not go for many years for various reasons, especially last year. You all know what happened. So I decided that I'm going to leave. So I took my chair, and we should each bring refreshment or food and so on. Certain things were provided, but I didn't take anything. I just decided to bring my chair and interact and to live. I decided that even if I just sit down by myself and don't do anything, don't say anything, I would do that. I would try to reach out. So I went, and I did not just sit down. It was a success. I walked about, and I spoke to a lot of people, and the gentleman, Miles Mendez was his name, one of my neighbors. He eventually came two times. Two more incidents of encouragement or success for my desire to come out of myself. I'll mention just two short ones. One was they both happened last week. I spoke to a gentleman. He was a security guard in a certain place, and he promised that he would come one Sunday. so far he hasn't made it. He may come next Sunday. Another person in a certain institution, in a bank, I spoke to him, and I was surprised that I, for most of the time, I carried the conversation rather than me being the letting him carry the conversation. And one of the things I learned was that most Chinese, he said, are Buddhist. And I witnessed to him about the gospel. He said that his girlfriend is a Buddhist, and he's sitting on the fence. He wouldn't like. He said it, he admired the Christians, all the Christians he came in contact with. He admired certain qualities that they have, and I tried to encourage him to make a decision for Jesus, and he hesitated and said that the reason why he would not do that is that he doesn't want to be with his friend, and they are both in separate terms. So those are the two of the people that I am praying for. There's something that I I'm forgetting. Not to worry, for there are many things that I can say. In the eastern part of Pine Hill Cemetery, in Lot K and Lot L, you'll see two markers. One marker has Michelle Washington and Samuel Washington. That is fully occupied. The other marker has George Washington and Avis Washington. That's only half occupied. That is, I won't go into that part of my testimony. I'm sure you all know about it. And I may say now that God is real. God is alive. And I must be careful in all that I say, and all that I think, and all that I do. One instance I remember when I was young, we were each given a Bible, a small Bible. I don't know how I read the print then, because I have cataract now, and my eyes can't read the small print. But that was delicious. That's not an appropriate word, but it was. I appreciated it. At that time, there was no internet, no TV, no click, click, click. We were in the country then, and I was not only a slow speaker, but also a slow reader, but nevertheless, I appreciated the Bible very much. It made a great impact on me. So I read it from cover to cover, and although I read it slowly, I remember most of the things in it. Now, in school. I mentioned about this school in elementary school. Did I mention how? No. When did I? Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister, the former Prime Minister of England during World War II, he was great, and he was looked upon greatly. He visited Jamaica once. We were in the country then, and everybody wanted to go and see him. He had a procession that drive a certain route, and we all wanted to go and see him. But one of us has to remain to attend to the property. We had cows and other things. At certain times of the day, you have to take change the position for the cow to give them water, or let them graze in a different position, different place. So I volunteered then that I would remain in the country to look after the cows, and everybody went. So it was a lonely time, and that was the time. I was about 13 then, and from I was young, I hear the gospel, and I decided to kneel at the side of my bed and commit my heart, commit my life to Jesus. Many times afterwards, in various services, we were invited. The invitation was given, a few times I recommitted. But it was not necessary. Once you make a commitment, it was not necessary to commit again and again. I see no why. At least I should have put some headings on. There was an instance when, when you are in the country, and I got mad at my brother, and I threatened him. I was climbing a breadfruit tree. It was difficult. The trunk was hard, and I was in a vulnerable position. He took we call it a croaker's bag, and threw it in my face. And I couldn't jump off. I could have said something to indicate that of my anger, but because of my stuttering, I don't. Have the freedom to say what I want, but I knew that I had to do something either strong, so I threatened to kill him. You know, we had caught that machete. I threatened to kill him. Well, that didn't go over well with my mother, but in my heart of heart, I don't think I would actually kill him. I don't. But years ago, I remember when in Canada here, reading the news from Jamaica, there was a man then. He was a fellow student of mine, but he was in a younger class. He suffered the similar things, the stuttering, and I read that he killed a man with a machete, and he was hanged. So I sort of sympathized with him, I knew what it is to have not being able to express yourself as normal as normal people would. true. I think next time I will organize better and be more cohesive and be more fluent. So, although I have many things to say, I am an idea. There are a number of a couple of ideas in my head. One, okay. Do you have any question to ask me? I put you on the spot. Okay. Yes, okay.
How did you get to Canada?
What's that?
How did you get to Canada?
How did I get to Canada? By a propeller plane. It took about 5 hours. Many years ago. I came as a family, Avis, Susan. Avis was pregnant with Michelle. We managed to come before Susan was two. Then the price would be, then the ticket would be cheaper if you come at a certain time. So Avis, Susan, and myself, and at that time Avis was pregnant with our second daughter, Michelle.
How did you meet Avis?
How did I meet her? That's interesting. I should bring a picture of the Caribbean Challenge. That's the name of the magazine. Caribbean Challenge is a Christian magazine of the West Indies, and they had our wedding picture on it. I was working in a lab on North Street as a medical laboratory technologist, and every month there's a magazine, Christian magazine published called Caribbean Challenge, and I read it. So I would walk down to Kingston to buy it. So someone told me, the pharmacy is next door. The pharmacy is in the hospital, which is next door. Hospital and the lab are close by. So someone told me that a pharmacy student sells the magazine. So why you don't have to go there? So, can I ask you, who was the name of the pharmacy student? Well, Avis was the pharmacy student. And one thing leads to the other. Okay.
How did you overcome your struggle with
stuttering? I haven't overcome it.
Well,
that's interesting. How did I? One other thing is to think, and sometimes words, believe it or not, certain words I just can't say it. So I have to figure out how to substitute that word that is impossible to say with another word or phrase. So I have to use my brain and travel. So there's a lot of going on in my brain. So my brain is always active. That's all. And I'm concerned of that also. When I was at work, I remember in Canada here, in working in the lab at the hospital, the supervisor arranged a meeting because I wasn't the only one who stuttered. There are a number of people all over the place who stutter, and some speech pathologists also. They would get together, a group of stutterers, in our meetings. Well, it didn't last long, but one of the meetings, maybe the last one, they asked us to give an account, you know, to share what triggers our stuttering, and each person would share something, and I share mine, and everybody laughed because mine wasn't what everybody expect. Mine was that it depends on what I eat, which is even now when I read. I didn't read many books. I didn't see anything about that. But that's the truth. It might not be the whole truth, nothing but the truth, but that's the truth. Mine is depends on how I eat. I remember, for example, if I eat protein, high protein thing, I'm more fluent. But if I don't eat, or if I'm tired, I stutter more. Jesus is Lord, and one advantage for that is that I can empathize with the least and the lost, the people who are disadvantaged. I have empathy with that. And I also have a heart for the less fortunate. There isn't any major turning point. It's more or less steady as she goes. It's steady. This is not because I started, because I hesitate to say it. One turning point is there are two things. Over my life, I've been to more churches than anybody. Well, no, not anybody. Than the average person. I've been to the spectrum of churches, from the most Pentecostal, charismatic, so for various reasons. And that is hard for my situation. My temperament is to just remain born in one church, grow up in one church, die in one church. But it's not so. I've been forced to experience many different denominations. On one hand, it's difficult, painful. On the other hand, it's an eye-opener, and I can understand when someone from even this church, I know some people make a comment about other churches, and I would spend time and explain. I sort of understand I'm in God's shoes, so to speak, to see that we are all different. there's something that's concerning that about Avis. I haven't spoken about Avis, but she's different. She's the best wife in the whole wide world. I said. Yeah. She's the best wife in the whole wide world. Well, I was going to say something, but it's not wise for me to say I'm going to say something and don't do it. Why don't you? Because this is not a Pentecostal church. Okay, I'll say something. In one of the, it wasn't Pentecostal, charismatic. I would just make a brief comment. I won't elaborate on it, but when we were together in this church, we would say the call of me to, if you want to speak in tongues. So we, I'm giving the short version. We went up both, and I got the gift, and she did not. She remained in the charismatic Pentecostal movement, and I am, well, that's a long, I could tell you a long story, but that's a short version of it. How did I come here? No, he didn't ask that question, so I won't answer.
Oh.
Good question. I've been to more churches than, I was going to say, all of you combined. It may be true anyhow, but I've been to many churches, believe me, different type. And a lot of it is following the best wife in the whole wide world. You know, she says, her personality isn't. She has a nice, strong personality. So wherever she leads, I follow. So we're living, still, the place we're living, we have been living there for more than 35 years. And there's a leaflet going around saying, you may have heard about it, some young fellow filling a snowbank got frozen, and you know. So she picked up the leaflet. We saw the leaflet, and she said she always followed. We say an answer for a fact. She came to hear this person, and she came a couple of Sundays, and she remained for a couple of months or so. And soon after, a few Sundays after going to this place, or as coming, going at Meadowville and Shepherd, she said, why not come here? For at that time, I was in a strange situation where I was in a strange situation. I always want to go to church. I can't, in my youth, sometimes even three times a day, morning service, evening service, and afternoon Sunday school, well, that was in Jamaica. Even Toronto here, you have morning service, evening service. Now, on Sundays we only have one service, morning service. Things have changed. I've seen the changes. So even she said, well, she invited me to come to and hear this young gentleman who fell in a snowbank, and so I came. That's the story. About 2002, I think.
So, George, are you okay if people come anytime in the future just to ask you to just really share from your experience and ask you any questions about
okay,
they might not have thought of, because it's hard to think on the spot, but I'm sure there's questions that would come up down the road.
Yeah, fine. For it's...
Sure, go ahead.
What's maybe one mistake you made as like a young Christian that you wish you could... maybe tell us that we could benefit from, like, don't fall into this pitfall, or maybe a way of thinking, or like a limitation you put on God, or something like that. Is there something you can think of in your life that maybe God has revealed to you that that wasn't true, but maybe for a long time you thought it was?
Yeah, it makes sense. I can't think of any at the moment, and if I think of any, I don't want to say. Not to worry. because I'm, as you say, steady as she goes. I was going to say I don't make mistakes, but that's not right. I'm careful not to do anything wrong. If they say wear blue, I wear blue. I try to go the right way. But one, I think of, I decided follow God's word. Follows the Bible, you know, I something that comes to my mind now that I it's embarrassing, but okay, I'll just tell it. When I met Avich first. We spoke together, and I realized from before we get married that she's rigid, she's unbending. Well, maybe a cousin of mine I have respect for, a couple, and they came to Toronto, and they eventually he's my cousin and his wife. We worked together. His wife and I worked. We were similar lab technologists in Jamaica, and he was. In Jamaica with the police, and he came up here, and eventually he was a faithful Christian, but for different denomination, but I had respect for them. So when I told her that, well, I'm no longer going to be with, I'm breaking off with Avis, she basically convinced me, said, no. Don't do that, stay. And I realized that although she is the best wife in the whole wide world, I can tell you that it was difficult. So maybe what should I have done then? I just listen to that person. I don't know. I really don't. Maybe God meant it to be that way. One thing I'll say, though, is to be is to live. To be to obey God, and not to be afraid. For the Christian life is exciting. I know from my little stepping out, and to be faithful for. The stories I know of people who are great Christians, I won't name names, but were very effective. I remember one man, I won't tell you, he formed a good organization, formed a good church, and because he was. He hampered the movement of God. We do not know how God moves, and because we don't understand, we try to put control. Don't try to control what God is doing. Yield to what God is doing. Just be obedient. But basically, I'm as steady as you go. I don't make mistakes. No, you understand. Well, that may be my problem. I should have made mistakes. That's the answer. I should have stepped out and made mistakes.
I do remember George. Picked me up for the prayer meetings before church service, and you shared, this has stuck in my heart for a long time, and you said, if you could go back, well, you didn't say you could go back, but you said you regretted working several jobs. I think you were working two or three jobs at one time. And then you said, if I could, I would rather live in a shack and spend more time with my kids than to have worked so much. And that still stays in my heart. So you didn't mean it as advice, you were sharing your heart. But I remember that. And so, Bob, that's one, you know, and then just, I think there's just so much in George's heart because he's experienced a lot. But if you guys think of something, seriously, he's really willing to share his path and what he's learned. So we're really blessed to have you, George. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
God is. Or to say it with our text, God is who He is. Or to say it philosophically, God absolutely is. Period. And everything changes. One of the billions of facts, of all the billions and billions of facts that there are, this fact, God is the most basic and the most ultimate. All other facts rest here. All other facts go there. There is nothing underneath the fact, God is, holding it up. Nothing above the fact, God is, to which all is tending. This is the most basic, most ultimate fact that is, God is. we are blown away by the truth that God is. And if you aren't, you're asleep. It is a staggering thought and reality. God absolutely is. This is explosively uncontainable. This is wildly untamable. This is electrically future creating. And so what I want to do now is to tell you 10 things that it means. God's absolute being means He never had a beginning. Number 2, God's absolute being means God will never end. He won't go out of being. If He did not come into being, He cannot go out of being because He is being. Number 3, God's absolute being means God is absolute reality. There is no reality before God. There is no reality outside of God unless God wills it and makes it. He is not one of many realities before He creates. He is simply there, and He is absolutely there. He is all that was, eternally. There was no space. There was no universe. There was no emptiness. There was only God. And that's all that ever was, eternally. Number 4, God's absolute being means that God is utterly independent. He depends on nothing to bring Him into being, or to support Him, or to counsel Him, or to make Him what He is. That is what the word absolute being that I'm using means. Number 5, God's absolute being means, rather, that everything that is not God depends totally on God. All that is not God is secondary, dependent. The entire universe, let it be said clearly and matter-of-factly, the entire universe is secondary. And God alone is primary. The universe came into being by God, stays in being moment by moment on God's decision to keep it in being. It is utterly, totally fragile and dependent and secondary. God holds it in existence every millisecond of its being. If he changed his mind, it would be nothing. 6. God's absolute being means all the universe is, by comparison to God, as nothing. Number 7. God's absolute being means that God is constant. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot be improved. He is not becoming anything. He is who he is. There is no development in God. There is no progress in God. Absolute perfection cannot be improved. Number 8, God's absolute being means that he is the absolute standard of truth and goodness and beauty. There's no law book to which he looks in determining what is right and just. There is no almanac to establish the facts for God. There is no guild to determine what is excellent or beautiful in art, music, creation. He himself is the standard of what is right, what is true, and what is beautiful. Number 9, God's absolute being means God does whatever he pleases, and it is always right, and it is always beautiful. There are no constraints on him from outside that could hinder him from doing what he pleases. All reality that is outside him, he created, he designed, he governs as the absolute reality. So he is utterly free from any constraints that don't originate in the counsel of his own will, and therefore, being absolutely free, he always does his good pleasure. And it is always right and beautiful. And number 10, God's absolute being means that he is the most important and the most valuable reality, and the most important and the most valuable person that is. He is worthy of your highest interest, your greatest attention, your deepest admiration, and your sweetest enjoyments. Including being superior in all those ways to the whole universe. That is what we believe. God is.
It is wildly untamable, explosively uncontainable, and electrically future-creating reality. God is.